Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We prayed earlier, O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. The collect today points us to what faces God's little flock. Christ has indeed raised up the fallen world by his death and resurrection and rescued it from the peril of everlasting death. Yet, we live in a time of bearing the cross, waiting for the return of the great shepherd of the sheep on the last day to bring us to that perpetual gladness, that eternal joy with him. We clearly have the promise of such gladness and joy to come, but it's not here yet. We still live in days, as Ezekiel describes, with clouds and thick darkness. Those clouds and thick darkness seem to have the ascendancy. Hired hands seek to lead the flock astray to sin and false doctrine on every hand. Even pastors who should know better fail and disappoint and fall into sin and shame and even vice. Kings, princes, governors, presidents, legislators lead their nations astray towards less love for our neighbors and to become an ever more self-centered and selfish people. And of course, the wolf, the devil, he prowls around seeking to snatch sheep from God's flock and scatter them away from faith in God's saving love and care for them. Today, we observe the 500th anniversary of a seminal event in the Lutheran Reformation. Dr. Martin Luther was summoned to the imperial diet at the city of Worms in order to either renounce or reaffirm his theology in response to a papal bull issued by Pope Leo X, which branded Luther as a teacher of false doctrine. God had given Dr. Martin Luther the gift of studying and knowing Holy Scripture, and there Luther had learned the central article of the Christian faith, that God desires man to live in and with the crucified and resurrected Jesus Christ by grace alone, through faith alone, and so be counted and reckoned righteous, innocent of sin, freely, by God for Christ's sake alone, as the clear scriptures teach. The papacy deemed this clear teaching of Holy Scripture false doctrine or heresy. But it was the papacy which had, to the time of Luther, led the church astray. The Pope and his bishops were the classic example of the hired hand that Jesus speaks of in today's gospel. They do not own the sheep, they care for themselves, and they leave the flock to the wolf, the devil. Most of the popes and bishops of that time were not true pastors or theologians, not even close. They were men of wealth and nobility who mostly bought and bribed their way into their positions, even ecclesiastical positions. These men forsook the gospel and left the flock to the wolf by teaching people to put their trust and faith in their good works of piety, man-made piety and devotion, as a way of earning one's way up to heaven, climbing the ladder to heaven as if you can. This included the selling of indulgences, which enriched Roman coffers and their own pockets. This left the sheep, the common baptized Christian, on the precipice of being snatched back by the devil into the clutches of hell. Today, April 18th, 1521, Luther was asked one final time before the Holy Roman Emperor and the various cardinal bishops of the Pope, and before all the princes and dignitaries of Germany, would he renounce the biblical doctrines he was teaching? And here's his reply. he said. How much more should I, who am but dust and ashes, and so prone to error, desire that everyone should bring forward what he can against my doctrine? Therefore, most serene emperor, and your illustrious princes, and all, whether high or low, who hear me, I implore you by the mercies of God to prove to me by the writings of the prophets and apostles that I am in error. As soon as I shall be convinced, I will instantly retract all my errors, and will myself be the first to seize my writings and commit them to the flames. Since your most serene majesty and your high mightinesses require of me a simple, clear, and direct answer, I will give one, and it is this. I cannot submit my faith either to the Pope or to the Council, because it is as clear as noonday that they have fallen into error and even into glaring inconsistency with themselves. If then I am not convinced by proof from Holy Scripture or by cogent reasons, if I am not satisfied by the very text I have cited, and if my judgment is not in this way brought into subjection to God's word, I neither can nor will retract anything. For it cannot be either safe or honest for a Christian to speak against the conscience. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen. At the end of the Diet, the emperor issued the Edict of Worms, a decree which condemned Luther as a notorious heretic, banned citizens of the empire from propagating his ideas. Private conferences were held to determine Luther's fate, but he was not arrested. His prince, the Elector Frederick, had negotiated for him a letter of safe conduct to and from the hearing, and they would not go back on their word to the prince. After his dismissal, Luther departed for his home in Wittenberg. However, fearing for his safety, the Elector sent men to fake a highway attack, and they kidnapped Luther. And he hid him away in the famous Wartburg Castle, surely the model of a mighty fortress, where for over a year, Luther wrote books and translated the scriptures into German. Meanwhile, God's word of comfort in Christ spread like wildfire. They couldn't stop it. This is an example of our Lord being a good living shepherd. The Lord sees the terrible state of humanity and the church itself, the hurting, the lost, the straying flock. Whether in the days of the prophets like Ezekiel, or at the time when our Lord himself came down from heaven to minister to us, or when the church faced persecution and martyrdom and various heresies in the early centuries after our Lord had ascended, or whether it was at the time of the Reformation when men denied the gospel itself, or whether it is in the trials and travails and tribulations we surely face today, and we are facing them. The church is always a storm-tossed, wolf-harassed little flock. But the Lord is risen and is able to raise the dead, and is also able to uphold his cause when it is falling, or to raise it up again when it has fallen, or to move it forward when it is standing. If there are no worthy shepherds, he will raise up others, like Luther, to accomplish his purposes. God does not wash his hands of you and me and of his church. He does not give up. And he does not just consign us to hell and the devil. The first and foremost thing that our Lord has done is that the Son of God has willed to take upon himself our flesh as our brother, and was willing to be humiliated for us in our place for the sin we were guilty of. He willingly fell down into the burning fiery furnace of God's wrath over sin and went down into the grave for you and for me so that we would be raised up. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, Peter says, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. The Lord laid upon our Savior the iniquity of us all. God struck the shepherd to save the sheep. The shepherd willingly laid down his life for the flock. But now you have been taken back by God's gracious work, brought back safe into God's flock. How? Upon the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You might picture the shepherd as Jesus does in Luke chapter 15. He returns having found that one lost sheep with it over his shoulders, rejoicing. It's such a happy picture. That's you at your baptism. The truth that Christ is this good shepherd who returns rejoicing with each member of his flock to the Father is bound together with his resurrection. That's why we talk about the good shepherd during this Easter season. There is no shepherd to bring back the lamb on his shoulders rejoicing if he is dead. But in fact, God has brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. So here in his church, Jesus Christ gladly receives and comforts and strengthens sinners. He deals with you graciously out of love for you. He comes to raise you up out of the muck and the mess of this life with words of mercy and peace, the forgiveness of sins he has won for you. Jesus says this, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down in the green pastures of my word, beside the still and saving waters of holy baptism, in front of the table I set with my own body and blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. Here with the gospel, my living voice, I, your good shepherd, seek the lost, bring back the strayed, bind up the injured, strengthen the weak, raise up the fallen world." Luther knew this, believed it in his heart, and this faith in Christ gave him something that Christians all have, should have: courage, steadfastness, to make the good confession of the faith, the good confession of God's word, even before kings and princes and all the world, even under the threat of death. The gospel was at stake. But like the apostles and so many countless confessors before him, Luther knew and trusted the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, who had laid down his life for the flock, took that life back up again on the third day, and who even now lives and reigns to shepherd the flock with his voice. That Lord sends faithful pastors, shepherds, to raise up and tend his people where they're at, through his word, his baptism, and his supper. He raises more and more up. That's why we have a vicar here. And we'll have a new one coming up at the end of this month for this summer. It's why we do the work we do for the sake of the church, so that God will raise up more shepherds. Within the vocation that God gives you each day, pray for the strength, the courage, the mercy, and the love that the Lord has first shown to you. Don't give up on the hurting sinners around you. Pray for them. Encourage them. Bring them here to the services of God's house to hear the shepherd's voice that raises them up. Know that in God's kingdom, in our congregation and in our community, in our own families, there are only weak and sick people, the broken, the contrite, the lost, the straying, all who so dearly need raising up by the power of the risen Good Shepherd. And it's here that God raises up dead sinners to new life by the voice of that one Good Shepherd. And he joins many into one flock that will at the last day be raised up from this fallen world into the perpetual gladness and eternal joy of a new world to come. And may that world come, and come soon. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, Guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.